Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let's pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every one that came out this evening to hear the Word of God. Father, may we hear and heed the Word. Be careful to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Pay close attention to every word. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, not those in red in our Bibles only, as direct quotations, but every word of God breathed out by Jesus Christ through the inspiration, authorship of the Holy Spirit, the precise communication of absolute truth. From heaven, heaven's truth, sent to the earth, distilling on the grass like the dew, like the rain that falls from the heavens, like the snow that settles on the earth. Cool and refreshing, satisfying, irrigating, causing growth. Father, may it cause us to grow this evening by the growth that comes from you. For he who plants is nothing, he who waters is nothing, but Father, you, the one who gives growth, you are everything. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is everything. So Father, tonight we desire to see him, to focus upon him, to concentrate on him, to be occupied with him, so that we might be that blessed people that you called us and slated us to be, not only for time, but for all eternity, as we consider the great issues of life out from the heart, as we guard our hearts, for out from them come the issues of life. We thank you for your word and for your great grace that is upon all of us. You've given us everything right from the start. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. Amen. I've entitled the message this evening, Stripped Off or Ripped Off, Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. Forgot to put my specs on. Hold on a second. That's more like it. Colossians 3:9 is our text this evening. Stripped off or ripped off? In Colossians 3:9 it says, do not lie to one another. Okay? That's a good one. All men are liars, the psalmist said. I said in my haste, all men are liars. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. In sin my mother conceived me, and we come forth from the womb speaking lies. And it's one thing to tell a lie, it's another thing to live a lie. And so many live a lie because they don't know the truth. They don't know ultimate truth. So as to live by it, to live in it, to let it dawn, and to let it control our life and time. So do not lie to one another. This is a command that's contiguous to the last command that we studied. That is to kill, nekrao, the members of the body, those upon the earth. That is the upon the earth ones in the literal translation. See, it's contiguous to or equal to you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. The tongue being a member of the body can't lie because you killed it. If you follow the command, the previous verse, you killed its pernicious, wounding, and lying words. And knowing it is dead to sin, it is no longer employed in lying and deception because you died along with the sins of the tongue. Now that you are also raised with Christ, your tongue likewise is raised and your mind is set on things above, so that your tongue can speak from there heaven's words of absolute truth. Yes, you have the ability to and not to. To tell the truth and not to lie. Before salvation, you couldn't and didn't, but afterwards, you can and therefore must. For the sake of Christ, and for your own sake, and for the glory of God. Remember in Colossians 2:13, it says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Before salvation, you had to sin, you had to lie, but now you don't. You still can if you want to, if you choose to, but there's no benefit or advantage to doing so, for it does not serve your best interest or that of God your Savior. And above all, it is our aim, or should be our aim, to please him in everything we say and all that we do. That's Colossians 3:17. You're right there. Just look at the passage. Whatever you do in word or deed, that's speaking and doing, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Thanks for what? For all he's done for us, all he's done in us, all he's done to us, through us. That is all he requires of us. For he wills and works inside of us according to his own good purpose and pleasure. The next we have the word apekdusomai, which we've seen before, twice before, and I'll show you that, which means having stripped off. So you don't want to be ripped off. You want to have your old nature and old practices stripped off. Remember that Christ was stripped off the earth, which is your stripping off of the old order, the old man, the old order of humanity, the nature of spiritual death, which is sin. That's Colossians 2:11. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the stripping off, apekdusomai, dusomai, of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried in the earth, which is your baptism into his death, and the washing away of your past, gone forever. Then being risen with him and in union with him, his victory over the angelic rulers made you impervious to their influence and injury as he stripped them off. Remember apekdusomai? That he stripped off principalities and powers as he ascended through the heavens, taking captivity, opening the gates of heaven, Psalm 24. Open the doors, open the gates. The Lord of glory shall come in. Who is the Lord of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. And that he did, stripping off principalities and powers. Therefore, the wicked one can't touch you unless you make yourself vulnerable, unless you independently or attempt to independently function apart from reliance upon him, and then you're a sitting duck. For the wiles and the plot of the devil. And God still watches over you and protects you so that he can't ultimately ruin you. He can certainly be used in terms of discipline. Paul said, I've given that one over, that brother over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit might be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. Remember the Corinthian brother who was involved in adultery, but of a kind that's not even common among unbelievers, which was a man who was involved with his father's wife, not his mother, but his father's wife. Evidently, it was his second wife or sixth wife, who knows. But you're not allowed to do that. It's not right. Everybody knows that. It dishonors your father and mother. And you get a short life upon the land that the Lord has given you instead of a long life. So he says, stripped off, having stripped off the palaios, You know what palaios means? It means old, but it means obsolete, decrepit, and useless. And he says anthropon, which is the old man. Palaion anthropon, the old, obsolete, decrepit, and useless man. He was before and is now obsolete. That means of no use, especially now, of no use anymore. He is decrepit. That means disabled and unemployed. Katergeo means to disengage or unemploy. Therefore, useless in achieving or fulfilling your new aspiration to know Christ and to love Him. The one who loved you and gave Himself for you, Galatians 2:20. The one who loved you first, 1 John 4:19. We love because He loved us first. That does hearken back to the word katergeo. Katergeo means to be disengaged. It means to cause to be idle or useless. The term always denotes a non-physical destruction by means of a superior force coming in to replace the force previously in effect. Sin was in effect, but it isn't any longer. Now righteousness is in effect. And it's also used in various settings and means to use up or to make barren. It means to be discharged from, freed from, even destroyed, abolished, caused to cease, put to an end, like in 1 Corinthians 2:6 and 2:13. Next we have with, he says, having stripped off the obsolete, decrepit, and useless old man with his practices. That's good. With his practices. Not just the person, but the practices. Getting rid of the old identity will take care of the practices. Free from the gravitational pull of the earth. No longer bearing the image or having affinity with it, but rather existing in the image of Christ. We walk around circumspectly, right, Judy? Circumspectly. We walk around circumspectly. Circum means around. See, circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. And we make the most of each day, not battling evil, but overcoming evil with divine good. Romans 14. No longer occupied with earthly concerns, we're occupied with that which concerns our heavenly calling, our Savior from heaven, our heavenly calling, our citizenship and inheritance. And so we escape the fray of earthly origin, and by so doing, the tyranny of the God of this world, who sponsors all deception and lies pathologically. Some people are honest, and some are dishonest, but even the most honest natural specimen of humanity, a man in his best estate, is vanity. Without the word of God, he's exchanged the truth for a lie. It's true. If he ignores God's truth, if he rejects or neglects God's truth, then he has taken up the lie. This is never more evident than what we're seeing now in the political arena. A pack of lies. Where liberal politicians believe they're right. They really do. And all the things they believe in and espouse, they really believe are true, when none of them are. Just because someone thinks they're right doesn't mean they're right. Therefore, to be truly right, you must defer to Christ and His words of truth, and let Him be true, and every man a liar. That's Romans 3:4. So he says, having stripped off the old, obsolete, decrepit, and useless old man with his practices. Then in verse 3:10, it says, and having put on the neon. I looked up neon because I thought, that's interesting. It's neon. What isn't neon a gas? Yeah, it is. It's used in shining forth or advertising. So I translate this, and having put on the new shining, and it doesn't say man here, it just says the new and shining. that is reflective of Christ, that new person. Then, but it does say then, the made new again. And neon means new. And it's one of the newest gases discovered, or newest elements in the universe discovered. I think it's has the number, atomic number 10, and was the 15th or something like that discovered. I forget the exact details of it, but it was discovered in 1892. Neon, along with krypton. Kryptonite. Neon and krypton. But neon means new. They named it neon because it was a new discovery. But it's used for very few things. It can be. It has some refrigeration or refrigerant properties and can be used in that respect, and also can be used in some type of laser applications, and also, but mostly for neon signs. It has a red glow to it, and then they put it inside of glass tubing, etc., and shine forth the message of the company that wishes people to see it brightly displayed, shining forth to advertise their product. Here we advertise Jesus Christ, or we should. So we're neon new. Having been made new again. Anakinosis means to be made new again. Ana means again, and kenosis means to be made new. So we're made new again. What do you mean made new again? Oh, you were new when you were born. You are a brand new, bouncing baby soul, and with a human body, a human being, a brand new, bouncing baby human being, and now you're born again, a brand new babe in Christ, the moment you believe in Christ, made in his image, in righteousness, that is, made new again unto knowledge. According to knowledge of him, according to the image of the one creating him. And that's Jesus Christ. He's the creator of all things, right? For he created all things. Nothing was created that was not created by him, for him, through him, and for him, to him. All things redound to him. The one creating him. Like him, the old was stripped off and the new was put on. So now you're new, right? Now body, soul, and spirit, like he is, waiting only for bodily immortality. That's the only thing you lack, is bodily immortality. Incorruptibility. And that'll happen in a moment for all of us at once. Those who have died in Christ come with him. Those who remain upon the earth will be called up. Those who are alive and remain, along with those who died in Christ, their bodies will be raised, gathered and glorified. All their DNA gathered and glorified, and we'll all receive our glorious bodies at the same time. We'll be just like he is. When we see him, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. He'll make us brand new in that regard also, so that we might live forever, and for some of us, that we might have the capacity by glorious humanity to receive the blessings of eternity, which you can't receive in these bodies that blow you up. It would disintegrate under them. They're so fantastic, and we can't even conceive of them here, and God hasn't told us too much about them. He just told us that they're going to blow our minds. That's all he's told us. And if he says that, that's got to be an understatement. And what we'll see there, what eye has not seen here, what we'll hear there, what ear has not heard here, and what we will see and perceive there, which the most vivid imagination of man has never conceived of here. He's planned and will distribute to those who love him. See, that's why I said the goal here is to love the one who loved you first. Love the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Here in his love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave us his son to be a propitiation for our sins. God is love. Jesus Christ is God, and therefore Jesus Christ is love personified, even as he's the word personified, grace and truth personified, wisdom personified. Righteousness and justice personified, and we'll see all of that in him. Our Savior, our sacrifice, our substitute. So, made in the image of the one creating him, That is, now you are trichotomous. You were dichotomous, and at the moment you believed in Christ, you're trichotomous, your body, soul, and spirit, although your body will receive immortalization and incorruptibility, which you don't have now. 1 John 3:3, those who have this hope purify themselves, even as he is pure. So he says then, creating him. Then verse 11, 3:11 says, wherein does not exist, or there is no, but it's does not exist, literally. It's present active indicative, so it's does not exist. Eleni, Greek, no Greeks allowed. Anybody Greek in here? Greek origin? No Greeks allowed. No, there's no Greeks in Christ. That means no Gentiles. Or Jews, circumcised, or acrobustia, peritome or acrobustia, circumcised or uncircumcised. Barbarians, no barbarians allowed. Wasn't there a motorcycle group called the Barbarians? Yeah. The pagans, the barbarians, and heaven's devils, I mean hell's angels. And no Scythians. Anybody a Scythian here? Okay, good. Because they're not allowed in the body of Christ either, or a slave, or even a free man. There's no distinction on any level of human difference, nationality. In another place, it says in Galatians 3:28, it says no male or female either, okay? So in case you think I left that one out, I didn't. Everybody has equal privilege and equal opportunity. And God has slated every blessing, these highest and best blessings for every single one of us that he foreknew, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. But you choose in this life through that missing chapter in the five-link golden chain that can't be broken, and that is sanctification. That is where you cooperate with God. In your personal, progressive, experiential, or experimental sanctification, that is, that you let the Word of God change you, transfigure you from the inside out. You need to be transfigured by the renovation of your thinking, that you might demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in Romans 12:2. So he says, none of these distinctions exist. Rather, Christ is all. That's the point he's making here. This is the mystery. Christ is all, and he's in you all. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. That is, fills all of us all the way up with all that he is because of all that he's done and given. Because of all the grace that abounds toward us. The fullness of grace and truth. And from his fullness, we've all received grace after grace after grace. He's so gracious, he's so good, he's so kind, he's so generous, he's so loving. He loves you more than you'll ever know. It's only his love that transforms us, and we get a glimpse of it, to know that he died for us. Here in his love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And he says, and God demonstrated his love for us. He said, sometimes someone will die for a good person, though. He says, but rarely. And for somebody who's really bad, nobody will die. But God demonstrates his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, still his enemies, and as ungodly as the devil, Christ died as our substitute. He died hooper above us. That is, on our behalf. That's love. To die for somebody who's your enemy. Somebody who's ungodly when you're God and sinless, to take your sin upon himself so that he might give you his righteousness as a free gift. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and 1 Corinthians 1:30. He's made unto us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And we'll see that in the end. It's a complete package. Indeed it is. Thank you, Father. You've done so much for every one of us. and we couldn't deserve it less. So don't think you get blessed because you're good. You don't. You get blessed because God is good, not because you are, because you can never live up to that goodness. You can manifest it through Christ, and it's blessed, certainly is, but you'll know it's not you, and you're not the reason for it. You don't have what it takes in and of yourself. That's why Christ had to come and live inside of you. That's why God had to give you his righteousness, because you could never attain to it in any way, shape, or form. I hope everybody really does know that, and they live in that reality every day. Not sometimes, all the time. That's called grace orientation. You know you don't deserve anything, but you have everything because God gave it to you, because he's satisfied with what Christ did and who he is on your behalf because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for no other reason. So, he says this. Well, let me go back here. He says there's no Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. Rather, all and in all, Christ is, or Christ is all in all. So, those who don't come to know that they have it all and have had it all along from the very start, if they don't come to know that, they've been ripped off rather than having been stripped off from all that is old, decrepit and useless. Even if you don't change, it's true. See, that's the thing about God's word. You know, what if some did not believe? He says, well, let God be true and every man a liar. So what? They didn't believe. That doesn't mean it's not true, for it is true. So even if you don't change, it's true. The change, like the seal of the Holy Spirit, God's seal, is God's business. And any changes are his business to effect, and your business is only to believe. That's all you do. You only believe God. You just say, I believe. And you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith, which means you perceive the word of God supernaturally and consent to it by positive willingness. That's all you can do. That's all you can do, except invest some of the time God's given you in eternity. And even if you don't change, it's true. God saw a change when you believed in Christ. You didn't have to see it. Neither does anybody else, because they're not going to stand in judgment of you. You'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll say, God, I don't know if I ever really did anything good, but I believed all of it. And he'll go, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. For it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The change in us, like the seal, is God's business to effect. And it's your business to believe. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. The elect of God. That means elected to superior privilege. Because of Christ, once again. Not because you did anything. All you did was believe. All you did was hear and believe, hear and believe, hear and believe, hear and believe, 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 hear, 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 believe. That's it. That's what you're called to do. That is the law of Christ, to hear and believe. That's called the Torah of faith. You hear and believe it all. And every single one of us can do that. And are required to hear and believe. Not to do, but to hear and believe. And if you hear and if you believe, you will do. It goes, it's automatic. When all of the viewpoint of human viewpoint and the curious blend of human and satanic viewpoints pushed out, what do you have? You have divine viewpoint. And you think God's thoughts, and you'll do God's deeds. You'll share his happiness. You'll have his peace. You'll have the peace of Christ. ruling in your heart, you'll have the word of Christ copiously indwelling your heart. We'll get to that in a minute. It's next. So then he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Wow! God thinks I'm holy, and he thinks I'm beloved. Is he demented to think that? I can't see it, but I believe it because he said it. And if he said it, that's good enough for me, isn't it for you? It has to be. Because you're not going to see these, though we don't see these things. We believe them and know they're true. We consent to them, and then we have a shot at them, at some semblance of bringing that to pass, or God bringing that to pass in our lives. All we have to do is let or allow him to do it. We believe his word and let or allow him to do it. And you think, well, that doesn't sound good enough to me. Doesn't he want us to do something? Yeah, hear and believe. And he'll do the rest. Consent to the divine revelation. Perceive it by divine power and consent to it by free will. That's what you do. And you guys do it beautifully because you come to church every chance you get. Because you want to hear about it. And you want to pick up on something you've missed. That's why we go to church. Just in case we might pick up on something we missed. Right? That's why I come. That's why I always went. And I don't go anymore, but I go here. And I study. I go to the Church of Jesus every day, every morning. And he's a really good pastor. The Holy Spirit's a wonderful pastor. He's your pastor. He's my pastor. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need any man to teach me, and neither do you, ultimately. The man Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5, you need him. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He's the only one you need. He's the one to give you a crown of incorruptibility and glory. He can give you the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of unfading glory, the crown of rejoicing. Wow. I'm really happy about all that. I truly am. And what did I do? Nothing. I didn't do a thing. Neither did you. There's nothing you can do. He did everything for you. As you. Instead of you, because you couldn't. He did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And he insists on keeping it that way. Faithful is the one who called you, who also insists on doing it. You say, how does that work? Doesn't he want me to do something? Yeah, to be still and know that he's God. That's what he wants you to do. To trust in him with all of your heart. Not to lean on your own understanding, but to acknowledge him in all your doings, all your ways, and he'll make your path straight. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. Everything else will fall into place. Have you learned that yet? No matter what happens, I'm telling you, it's magnificent. It's glorious. We behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and it changes in that same image from glory to glory by the Lord, who is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, indeed there is freedom, liberty. That is liberty to be transfigured into that same image from glory to glory. So, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, splankna. I was hoping I'd get to this word. I like it. Guts. Splankna's bowels or guts. It says a heart. That's not what it says. Heart's cardia. Splankna's guts. Bowels of what? Mercy. In other words, it got to affect you clear down into your bowels. Into your innermost parts. Into your koilia. That is, the deepest recesses of your inner sexual being. That's where you got to affect you all the way down there. You can't even plummet those depths yourself. It's amazing what he does, what the Word of God does. It transforms you from the innermost part out, not from the outside in. And that's what most believers think it's about. It's about this out here and not in here. You know what? It took you a long time to get as screwed up as you are. And it'll take a long time for that to be rooted out and for you to be conformed and changed. And God's not in any hurry, because it's a deep work he must do, and a long range one at that. And he'll do it in a moment, what's left, when he glorifies you. But in the meantime, we cooperate with him in our personal, progressive, experiential, or experimental sanctification. That's our job. We just keep saying yes, yes, yes to the Word. We keep hearing and believing. So he says, bowels of mercy. See, we've received so much mercy from God. How can we not be merciful to others? And kindness, Christote, which is his kindness. It's his mercy. Man doesn't have mercy. There's no mercy with man. God is full of mercy. His mercy endures forever. There's no bounds to his mercy. He is a merciful God. His mercy rejoices over judgment. And he's a just God, but his mercy rejoices even over judgment. He proved it when he sent Christ. And by the mercies of God, we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. When we see how much mercy he had toward us. Remember, the difference between grace and mercy is, grace is God gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy is he doesn't give you what you do deserve. In terms of the consequences, negative consequences of the stupid things that you think, say, choose, and do. That's mercy. And he's a merciful God, and he's kind. Christotes, which comes from charis, the same base word, and also charizomai, which is forgiveness, kindness, joy, and grace. All of those things. Bowels of mercy, of kindness, of tapai to pino for sune, which is humility. Be humble. All these belonging to and coming from Christ, all characteristics of neos or neon, none of which belong to palaios, the old. These only belong to the new, not to the old. Psalm 34:5. They looked to him and were radiant. What's that? Neon, brand new, shining forth. And their faces will never be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed. Now, Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another. This is a good one. Now, listen carefully, every one of us, listen to this. And forgiving each other. You have to forgive other people, or you don't experience God's forgiveness in your life. You won't even know that you need it. And you'll live without it. And it'll be not nearly as good as it should be. You have to forgive others if you've seen how much you've been forgiven for. That is, not only personally, but as just being a human being. You need complete forgiveness, or you can't go anywhere with God. You have to be completely cleansed. And he did that at the cross. So forgive one another for their mistakes, for their sins, for their egregious sins, for their faux pas, faults, failures, foibles, sins, stupidity, unwise decisions, stupid things that we think, choose, say, and do, the stupid things we say. And I can tell you right now, I'm sorry if I ever said anything to you or made you feel less than being one of God's chosen and elect believers, because you are just that. He says it, and I know it's so, because he said it. And guess what? Forgive me, and I'll forgive you too. And don't be so sensitive about what people say, because they probably didn't even mean what you thought they meant or what you invested in what they said. Forget about you. And and focus more on setting others free. Just set them free. Nothing will help them more than to be set free. You say, oh, they'll just do it again, probably. But so will you. So don't put a standard upon others that you cannot live up to yourself. That's what Peter said to James in the Jerusalem Council. You can't live up to those things. You can't live under the law. You have to live under grace. You can't breathe under the law. You can only breathe in a grace atmosphere. So then he says, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should too. All of these virtues and characteristics of Christ are yours. When all that belonged to the old creation was stripped away, washed away, in order that you might have all of it and live it all out. Have it all, live it all out in an overflowing manner of life. But never should we forget that we are always involved. And if we do not reckon as true these ultimate truths and abide in them, then the rip-off artist will indeed rip you off. And if you do not reckon as true these ultimate truths and abide in them, the rip-off artist will kill your peace, your joy. If you don't kill the impulses resident in your body, he'll steal from you if you don't guard the assets of your so great salvation. And he'll destroy that which you are to value most highly, believe completely, and guard diligently so that you and I might experience the reality in a foretaste of glory divine. A foretaste of glory divine. That's what this life is for. Jesus called it abundant life. I came that they might have life and have it in all of its abundance. But what did he say that the enemy came to do? To kill you, to destroy you, and to steal from you. All these things are yours in Christ, all the good things that God has done and given in Christ, and they're yours to guard, to keep, and to experience. Likewise, you have to guard them. Nobody else can. Let no one steal your crown. In Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you. That you're responsible for that. That is, rip you off. Let no one rip you off. With empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That was very similar to Colossians 2. Or Colossians 2:18, which says, let no one keep defrauding you, that is, ripping you off, of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Or 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you in any way. For it will not come, what? The Antichrist. Unless the apostasy comes first. That is, the rapture of the church. Until the apostasy comes first, the great falling away, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition or destruction. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down. This is on a pastor. Let no one look down on your youthfulness. They can't on me because I don't have youthfulness. I'm not youthful anymore. But that was for young pastors. But rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example for those who believe. A perfect example? No, for those who believe. I believe it all. So I'm a good example of someone who believes it all. I truly do. That's one thing I can say is I believe every word of God. Do I know everything? Not hardly, but I believe it all. Even if I don't know it, I believe it already because God said it. The plain declaration of God's truth and statements from the Word of God. He means what he says, says what he means. He doesn't dilly-dally or trifle with man. He tells you exactly what he truly has said and declares to be true. In Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort. This is for pastors also, and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. I can't let you disregard me. Don't disregard me. Because I'm speaking from the authority God's given me as one who communicates the word of God. Not that I have anything in and of myself, but it's from him. Revelation 3:11, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have. Let no one take your crown. Let no one steal your crown, rip you off. Hang on, hold on, carry on, press on, go on, burn on, continue on, God's way. Keep on keeping on, never stop, pick up the pace, run the race, for grace upon grace. You'll wish you had when you stand face to face. Nothing means more, carries the weight, has precedence, priority, urgency, necessity more than that word. Be all you can be. Receive all that's been given. Believe, believe, believe. It's all you're called to be. You're a believer, aren't you? And you will have. And you will see if you believe. Not believe if you see, but see if you believe. Nothing is more valuable, useful, powerful, profitable, durable. Live your life in time for eternity. The time given is yours to invest for eternal dividends in a world without end. Don't worry about the stock market. Find it, the word. Eat it. Respect it. Receive it. Retain it. Recall it. Rehearse it. Remember it. And rejoice in it. Give yourself fully, freely, without reservation, for an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Where all of this we have merely glimpsed will be existential reality and ecstatic joy. Be wise. Walk circumspectly. Make the most of each day. All the days of your life. All the days that remain. And there aren't all that many. Number them in Psalm 90:12 in order to make them count. Don't waffle, wallow, or waste another day. Let the word of Christ richly indwell your heart so that his peace might rule and his love might bind. Colossians 3:1, turn there, and we're going to read through to 17 and we're done. Colossians 3:1, just let this wash over you like the waves of the ocean. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Jesus Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Kill the members of your earthly body, those upon the earth, to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is tantamount to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, used to walk, when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly indwell your hearts, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious, precious word, for your precious, precious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, for this magnificent mystery, for this ingenious plan that you made for us, for him, because of him, and that we are the grateful recipients of, Father. Father, may we understand more than ever in these final days, in this final season of some of our lives, and for those who are younger, Father, that they might have the advantage of seeing these things now and living them out for a lifetime. Oh, God, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. He's everything, and we are nothing. But that makes him everything and gives us a shot at that great grace blessings of immortality and incorruptibility that you plan for us from all eternity, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Thank you for each member of this congregation, those who consider themselves a part of our local church. Father, bless each one. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our souls, open our hearts, our minds, so that the word of God might penetrate most deeply, so that we might be among the few and the chosen that really do get it when so few seem to today. For the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray for these things. Also, Father, if I could have my ushers bless the offering in Jesus' name, amen.